keep that thought in mind as Jason Sherbert comes to sing, whatever God has planned for us, it's going to be well.
Kindle this flame with all I need to know. Shelter it from doubt and give it time to grow. Order my steps to people filled with strife, so I can be a channel of my Savior's holy light. I can be a light to people everywhere. I can be a beacon and offer love and care. God, give me courage to always follow you. Lord, let me be your light. Keep brightening my light when I am in distress. It guide me home, remind me I am blessed. Daily I'll count on you to see me through. So every word and every deed, my love of you, I can be a light to people everywhere. I can be a beacon and offer love and care. God, give me courage to always follow you. Lord, let me be
take your Bibles with me this morning and go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 46.
Hi.
All right, are we good? All right. Yeah, I'm fine. All right. There were some people live streaming that were falling asleep, and so we did that to wake them up. I did want to mention, too, of course, our condolences to the Nation family, and condolences, but also praise that Kenny's rejoicing in heaven right now. and the Parkinson's is gone, and everything else has been healed, and prayers have been answered, in fact, in that regard there. So just a reminder, too, that funeral tomorrow and the services, those will all be at Sutton's funeral home. The visitation in the morning and then the service right after that. I believe that starts at 11 o'clock. So if we could go ahead and turn our attention here to God's Word this morning, more of God's Word, actually. The songs that we sang this morning, they were just packed full of God's Word. I don't know if you had picked up on that or not. But I want to start this morning by making some remarks about what is no doubt on everyone's mind. It's certainly part of nearly every conversation that I've heard this morning and, in fact, this last week. And that's the coronavirus. And what should we think about it? What should we say about it? What should we do about it? A lot of ideas. What should we think about what others think about it? That's a good place to go. The information that we hear changes right now literally daily. In fact, it's changing hourly, in fact. I was planning on addressing this next Sunday. But in these last few days, things have changed so rapidly. Here we are. Does what we think and how we respond and what we do, does being a Christian have any bearing on those things? Yes. Let's not forget that. I think it's important for us to recognize what is truth about this unusual time. And first of all, I would say this. It is real. It just is. It's real. Regardless of how we think the media might be hyping it or not hyping it, it really doesn't matter. It's real. In the countries where it started and initially spread to, there have been many deaths. It's real. The deaths seem to be concentrated on certain age groups, mostly senior citizens, but also the very young and those with respiratory issues or immunodeficiencies. That is real. There's a 14-day incubation period before any symptoms are presented. That's real. It has spread to the United States. And as I learned just yesterday, it's in our county now, or the counties around us at least. And so it is necessary for us to take precautions to minimize the spread of it. I've heard a lot of different comments over the last few days and read different things from panic to the opposite end. Everyone's just overreacting. You know, if we compare this to Y2K, remember that 20 years ago? Okay. I had a family member that everyone thought was crazy because they bought a camper. They had 300 2 liters of water stashed in their garage. They bought weapons. Then when everything crashed, they were going to jump in their trailer with 300 2 liters of water and head to the hills in Kentucky or something. I don't know what the plan was. I was actually at a pastor's meeting prior to that, and there was a pastor there that was literally preaching that we were in sin if we were not doing those things and preparing for our family. So we remember, some of us do, Y2K. And then nothing happened. The world didn't come to an end. And so that same mentality, I think, may be applied to this. It's not going to happen. Everyone's just overreacting. Well, the difference. Y2K was based on an assumption that the world was coming to an end. Corona is real. And we have seen the real effects of it in other countries. to not respond to it would be irresponsible when we know that it is real. Well, some have said it's just like the flu. Well, no, it's not. This has no cure. And the best that they can do for people that get it is treat the symptoms. And hopefully they make it through. So we have this virus. It spreads to many before it is detected because of contact, not someone breathing on you. And it has no cure. That's not something we can ignore. If we choose to do nothing, it will spread in greater numbers. It would behoove us, I think, to take some precautions. Just yesterday, as many of you know, there were two confirmed cases just 30 miles from here. There was one in Mattoon. And one of those individuals is in intensive care. Since they went to the hospital 3 days ago, March 12th. Now, keep in mind, these people were infected up to 2 weeks ago. And the one in intensive care didn't know that she had it until 3 days ago. It's not just in Chicago anymore, folks. So, what can we do? What should our response be? I want you to imagine it being in the middle of summer, typical Illinois summer. It's 100 degrees with 300% humidity, okay? It's 100 degrees with a heat index of 180, or however they figure that. And you have no air conditioning in your house. Well, your windows are open, okay, to try to get some of that 110-degree air blowing through your house to cool you down. Your windows are open. Now, in the next city over, let's say there's a chemical plant, and the chemical plant has a fire, and dangerous gases are let out into the atmosphere. What do we do? I heard it. Shut your windows, right? Okay. The way they build our house is so airtight today, you could shut your windows and keep the gases out. All right. But what if someone says, you're overreacting? That wouldn't happen because we know it's coming. And so we would take steps to prevent it from getting into our homes as much as we could. That's called wisdom, folks. Not overreacting. Here's what has been recommended. Avoid large crowds of more than 200. And I've seen different numbers. Wash your hands regularly. If you are sick, stay home. Okay? Live stream. They recommend social distancing. You all are already practicing that, except for the Sherbert family up here. They just love each other, okay? You know, keep it at least 3 feet between you and someone else. Sanitizing. If you can find sanitizer, more power to you. Pastor Taylor told me this morning he saw a guy south of in the southern states. He has 17,000 bottles of sanitizer. He was hoping to cash in big. He's been kicked off Amazon. They won't let him sell it. Good. If there's a water shortage, he can just drink it, right? What about avoid people altogether? Absolutely not necessary. But precautions are necessary. Washing hands, avoid shaking hands, right? I'm curious to see how things go in Uruguay, our missionaries from Uruguay. I mean, our team was down there, and they don't shake hands, they kiss. I mean, you go into church, you get kissed by everybody before church starts. And before church leaves, is over with and everyone's leaving, you get kissed by everybody. There's a whole lot of kissing in those churches going on down there, all right? That was culture shock for us last year, I'm telling you. Is Armand in here? No, he's back with the kids. I can say this, don't tell him. I think he liked it.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
If you have to stay home today, let me just say to the folks that are live streaming, if you have to stay home today, and you're listening via our live streaming, I want you to know I support you in your decision. And no one of us should criticize anyone else for their personal decisions during a time such as this. This is a time where we as a Christian community, a family, this church, needs to come together as a team, folks. Okay? For now, the mission conference is going on as planned, with the exception that was announced earlier. Prior to you coming this morning, the building was sanitized. It'll be sanitized after you leave. Disinfectant, sanitation techniques on door handles, door knobs, the push bars, the push plates, light switches, all of that. It's just precautions we need to take. Instead of doing it, you know, once every other month or once a year, whatever we, no, I'm just kidding. We're doing it after every service, okay? It's just something that we need to do. Tomorrow night, the deacons and I, we met this morning already. We're going to meet tomorrow night after the conference is over with to put together a comprehensive plan for us to initiate as soon as we put it together. Most likely it'll be before next Sunday. And so you'll be receiving notice of it by email. We'll have it on Facebook and on our website as well. If you don't have access to those, you know someone who does, so be looking for it. We would mail it to you, but the mail may get shut down this week. I don't know. We just don't know. If you have any questions about it, you can call me or one of our deacons here in the next few days as we get this ironed out. But we're going to take every effort to allow us to be able to obey Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. I'm going to have those verses on the screen right now. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as ye see the day approaching." This is a command from God. You've heard me preach this before. There is no exception in the Bible for this command. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together unless you've got an illness going around. We still have to obey this. And so we're going to be wrestling, the deacons and I, figuring out a plan of how we can still be obedient to God's word and still take precautions at the same time. I believe it's possible. The early Christians, they lived in circumstances that were far more extreme than ours. And yet, they met. In countries today that are not, shall we say, Christian friendly, what do the Christians do? They meet. They take precautions, but they meet. And so we will be considering the precautions that we need to take and then implementing them. Again, let me emphasize, they continued to meet, okay? We need to continue to meet, not just so that we can be obedient to God's word. We need to meet so that we can continually be spiritually fed. We need to meet so we can consider how to provoke one another unto love and good works, how to continue to influence others to follow Christ in these changing circumstances. Things are all completely different now, folks. Psalm chapter 46. We're going to be there in just a second. I'm getting there. A few days ago, a friend of mine posted on social media the difference between panic and prepared. Ah, there's a difference, okay? It would be so easy for us to just lock ourselves away and not have any contact with anyone for the next 2 months. If you have enough toilet paper. This morning, Pastor Taylor and I were discussing that. Y'all come to church, you're going to be expecting certain amenities, shall we say? We use candy to get kids to come to church. You know what I'm thinking, right? How can we lock ourselves away and have no contact with anyone when we say that we are people of faith? What is our faith in? Who is our faith in? Jesus. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God I will put my trust. Not in the CDC, not in a cure, not in the president, not in FEMA. In God. That's where our trust needs to be. And that's what should make us different from everyone else in our community around us. If our faith was placed in Christ in the past when we got saved, now you recognize salvation is by faith, okay? It's not works. It's our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Imagine you are placing your eternity, whether you go to heaven or hell, you are placing it on an activity that Jesus did 2,000 years ago that you weren't around to see, but yet you are placing faith in that as being enough to get me out of hell. If we have faith in Christ for salvation, and our faith in Christ is today, what is our faith in tomorrow? Or the next day, or the next week, or even the next month. If we have faith in Christ, then we have no fear of tomorrow. Those of you that placed your faith in Christ in the past for salvation, do you have any fear about going to heaven when you die? No. That faith, place it in tomorrow, no fear, no worries, no anxieties. It's the same person your faith is in. And his plan for us tomorrow or next week, it's already set for us. And when his plan unfolds, he promises this, Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, for Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though 13 new cases have been diagnosed in Taylorville, we will not fear. That could be put into the verse too. Consider Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? All through Scripture. On your Bible app or whatever, just punch in fear. Look up a verse that has fear. You're going to get over 700 verses that deal with fear. Now, some of them are the fear of the Lord, but many of them, not fear, not fear, no fear. Why is it wrong to fear? Seems to me that would be natural. Why is it wrong to fear? Because of this. God is not the author of fear. So that tells us two things. Fear has an author. If God's not the author of it, that means his enemy is.
a posture of fear and panic is not a posture of someone trusting in God. The world, folks, no. The community, our community around us, needs to see more than ever during this time that we are not just another collection of people that call themselves Christians, that have this building that they call a church, that come together and meet on a weekly basis. That makes us look like all the others that call themselves Christians have a building and meet every week. There needs to be something different. Our community needs to see that we really trust in God in how we respond to this. And so I want to encourage you to seize this opportunity. We have an opportunity to reach out in the next few weeks. We will make a choice. We will isolate or we will reach out. Those that are fearful, encourage them with God's greatness. Comfort the feeble-minded. Point the panicked to Christ. Demonstrate the love of Christ. And we can't do that if we are locked away in our homes wearing gas masks. But we can do that and take precautions. The changes that we're going to be making here in the next few days will not just be for our self-protection. I think that's a wrong motive to go about. We're going to take these precautions so we can protect ourselves. They will be rooted in love as the driving motivator for these changes. Love for those that are most vulnerable. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." See, it's not about us. It's about those that are weak. And not just physically weak, age weak, susceptible to disease weaker than us. It's those that have less than we do. It's not just about protecting the older folks in our society. This concept here in Romans 15:1 is about us who have helping those who don't in whatever capacity. Part of the Christian life is about the strong considering the weak. At the same time, some people are taking steps. Some are taking extreme ones, like 17,000 bottles of sanitizer. Is that stuff flammable? Wouldn't it be ironic? Some are taking extreme steps to protect themselves and their families. Extreme steps, I'm not saying that's ludicrous. I'm saying some are taking extreme steps to protect themselves and their families, out of anxiety and fear. And that will likely increase in the coming days, folks. I mean, we laugh about it because we have to. It's funny. The toilet paper issue. What does that have to do with preventing coronas anyway? You know? It's fear. But I have 4 cases in my... No, I don't. I'm just kidding. The shelves are empty in the stores. And people are responding out of fear and anxiety, and it's only going to increase in the coming days now as these numbers are beginning to grow daily. This is not a Christian posture. Stocking up? Preparing? Absolutely. Christ warned his disciple, and I'll get to that in a minute, to prepare towards the end of his life. But to do it because of fear and anxiety? Absolutely not. Paul wrote this, I want you to be free of anxieties. Why? So that his community would be able to serve the Lord. We cannot serve God if we're locked away in our fear and anxiety. It inhibits us from serving God. Whether it's fear over this virus or fear over anything else in our lives. We prepare for our expected needs and others' expected needs. So that we can be free of anxieties and serve freely when the time comes. That's the whole concept behind Dave Ramsey and financial peace and being debt free. It is freedom. Freedom to live and give like you never could before. Christians should be preparing urgently in some cases, but not panicking. Christ tried to prepare his disciples for what was coming just before his death. I think it's like in Mark chapter 8. He told them, it's coming. It's coming. Here's what's going to happen. This is coming. I wonder what they must have thought when he told them that. God really doesn't tell us what they were thinking. Okay? But we don't know what they thought. Maybe they could have thought, oh, he's just overreacting. Making a big deal out of nothing. Ah, it's not going to be that bad. Kind of like what we're hearing now. Okay? And we know they didn't prepare. We don't know what they thought. But we do know that when things did go bad, we know what they did in response to things going bad. They feared. They ran. They hid themselves in an upper room out of fear and anxiety. I read this definition of anxiety the other day. It is imagining the future without Jesus in it. If Jesus isn't in your future tomorrow, you got fear and anxiety today. A couple of weeks ago, my grandsons were here and we took them to Shields. Because we needed a break from his constant wrestling at home. Papa was tired. So we took him to Shields, and he was tall enough to ride the Ferris wheel. Ooh, he's a big boy now. So I get him a token, and he has his first Ferris wheel ride. I have no idea how this three-year-old is going to respond, okay? And so the ride attendant put us on our little cart, closed the gate, strapped us in, and Jet is sitting there, and I says, are you excited? He says, I'm not afraid. Jesus is with me. Wow. That was beautiful. And of course, he doesn't have an inside voice. So this 100,000 square foot store, everyone heard him say that. I was so proud of him. Until the Ferris wheel started to move. And as we start going up, up, his face is going down, down. And he's like, and we get all the way to the top. He says, Papa, I'm done. I said, well, no, you're not. You're going to ride this horse, buddy, you know? So we made it all the way around. And as we're going up, he just lets out with his childlike faith. He says, I'm not afraid. Jesus is with me. We need to have that kind of faith, folks. Just like this 3.5-year-old demonstrated. When we realize that Jesus is present today, Jesus is with me, and will be present tomorrow, we can be set free of worry. And when we're set free of worry, then now we're free to serve the King of Kings. There's been a number of social media posts that I've seen out there and have heard about. One in particular, this is from a Christian. They had posted something blasting the politicians for what they did and didn't do and how they did it and how they should have done it better and making jokes about it and all of this stuff. And here was the result. People responded to this Christian's Facebook post with outrage over his lack of compassion, his stupidity, his lack of wisdom. Folks, when this is over, and it will end at some time, this will pass. How will your neighbors remember you when this is over? The one pushing and shoving at the grocery store so that you could get that last roll? Or the one that shared what you had with someone in need? How will they remember you? If we're in fear and anxiety and panic, we're going to hoard everything we got. But when we realize Jesus is with me, we are now free to serve with what we have. You see the difference there? How will they remember you? The one who made light of it on social media? Ridiculed those who were taking precautions? Posted coronavirus jokes on your Facebook page? Or will they remember you as the one that contacted your neighbor to see if they had any needs and then tried to meet those needs? That's a totally different Christian response. What do you say to the person in our community who lost someone to the virus weeks from now? What do you say to them about your jokes at that time? Or your ridicule of those that are overreacting? Or about your own lack of compassion? What do you say to them? Is this a lot of to-do over nothing? I don't know. Is it going to get as bad as what some people are saying? I don't know. But when it's all over, I don't want egg on my face. This is where our words, I'm a Christian. This is where our words become actions. I'm glad when you tell people that you're a member of Grace Baptist Church. I'm glad you are proud to be a part of this faith family. But now, more than ever, family, we need to show it. Show faith. We need to not just sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We need to show how we love Jesus. And we have this amazing opportunity in front of us. This is going to pass 2, maybe 3 months, based on how it is in other countries and the time frame that they've had to deal with it. This is going to pass. We have this amazing opportunity to plant seeds in the next couple of months to disciple, to influence others in the direction of Christ. Let's not waste this opportunity. I saw this post earlier this week. Someone was just throwing out there on Facebook, public post. It wasn't just to a select group of friends. This was threw it out to the entire world. If they need any help feeding their children or any other needs, let them know and they would do what they could to provide it. That is selfless. That is what we should be doing in the next weeks to come, folks. That, just that, because you know the hoarders and the extortioners that'll be selling whatever on eBay at inflated prices and Craigslist and all that, those people are going to increase and we will shine so bright if we just take a very unusual approach. A Christ-like approach to this. The president has called for today to be a national day of prayer. Now, forget your politics. Aren't you glad that we do have a president that has the courage to call for anything religious? So we're going to close this morning with prayer. And even after we leave here, let me encourage you with this as far as our prayers. Not, oh God, help us prayers. But because our faith is in the right person, prayers of hope and praise and trust. I've asked three of our men to lead us in prayer this morning, and then we'll be closed and we'll just dismiss. Rusty, would you come at this time, please? And then Delbert, and then David, if you would follow them. Let's pray, folks.
Dear God, we know you have a plan. Your plan is absolutely perfect, and whatever it may be, it's to your glory and your honor. But right now, I pray this for myself just as much as everybody else, that we would have a mind of Christ set completely on the glory of you. That when we go out, that our light would shine to this world, dear God, and that we would not hide that candle under a bush. That, as your word says, a city on a hill is not easily hid. Let us be that city to this town, to this world, God. Let us to walk out into this world with the mindset of, although this could be the end of some people, but this could be the opportunity that these people have to have a heart softened for Christ. Just as in Nineveh, dear God, there was many things that happened prior to Jonah showing up that prepared them to accept Jonah's message, dear God. I pray that we would be more than Jonah, to walk in with love and not hate for people. That we would walk in and say, this is what God is doing for me, and I know where I'm going, but where are you going? God, be with this church. Help all of us to keep in mind that we should be loving each other as you loved us. A love of Christ, dear Father. Just guide and bless us throughout this time. God, help us to show love. In your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.
Delbert, would you please come?
Dear Lord, we recognize this morning that you are a holy God. You are an awesome God. And everything that comes from you is good. We just praise you for who you are as the great God of the universe, the creator of all things, as the one and only true God. And we know, Lord, that you have a plan, and none of this has caught you by surprise. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with our church, be with our state, be with our nation, be with each leader, help each one to have the wisdom and insight to do what is best. We just pray for your guidance for everyone concerned. And Lord, we lift up those that have been afflicted by this illness. We pray that through all this, that you would get the glory from the healing that would take place, and that as a result of this, that others would come to know you as their Savior. We just pray that you would use this, Lord, for your honor and glory. We thank you for our pastor. We lift him up to you. We just pray that you'd be with our missions conference here this week. We pray for the missionaries that are here. We pray your protection upon them, that they would not be infected by any kind of illness. We just ask for your guidance and direction there. And again, Lord, we just thank you so much. We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, when your Son was walking on this earth and speaking to his disciples, he said to them, "Ye are the light of the world." The world does not read the Bible. The world reads your people. You are being reflected in our lives by how we act. We have been challenged this morning from our pastor and from the Word of God to be demonstrating the love of God in the way we act in a crisis. Lord, I thank you that this crisis has not taken you by surprise. We know that you knew about this crisis even before we were born. So it has not taken you by surprise, and therefore you have it all under control. We do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this building here this morning, that we will be manifesting and demonstrating in every action of our lives, even in our thought life, that we have faith in Jesus Christ. And He is our refuge and strength, a very, very present help in times of trouble. Lord, I thank you for our president who has had the courage to ask for the nation to pray today. I thank you that in spite of criticism from outside of the world's regime, he has had the courage to recognize Almighty God, the God to whom we pray. And I thank you that you hear our prayers. And I pray that as we leave this building, Lord, we will be living in our lives and in our testimonies and in our faith that we know who holds the future. Dismiss us with thy blessing, Lord. Give us discretion. Give us wisdom. Give us peace in our hearts, because it passes all understanding. I ask that you will dismiss us with your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen.